I'd like to thank our sponsor of today's podcast, Zmanda. Zmanda Enterprise Backup and Recovery protects workloads across your hybrid cloud data centers with deduplication, incremental forever backups, and security. Zmanda typically saves customers 50% or more and delivers double the industry average customer satisfaction rating. Visit zmanda.com to start your free trial today. And now for my conversation with Joe Peterson. Welcome back to Data Protection Gumbo. I'm your host, Demetrius Malbro, and we have a special guest on today. I have the Vice President of Cloud and Security Services at Clarify 360 on, Joe Peterson. Joe, welcome to the Gumbo. How are you today?
Thank you for having me on the Gumbo. I love me some good gumbo.
Yeah, you just reminded me. I think I need to go make another batch today. So, But let's jump right in it. And I really want to talk to you today about security. Cybersecurity is really hot, and get your take on first data security posture management, and also why does it matter?
Yeah, well, it matters because we all learned about AI. It all sort of hit our desktops, you know, last April. It's been around for a long time, but many times teams get busy and, you know, labeling data wasn't a priority, right? That kept getting kicked down the road. Well, now we have AI and companies, enterprises are using it. And we've got private and public AI, right? And so the last thing they want is they don't want their mission critical or company jewels, as it were, out in the wild. So, you know, we take a step back and we old school it and we start to think about what is our data security posture management? And the net of it is it isn't just one thing. It's this combination of practices and technologies that are used to assess, monitor, and reduce the risk of data residing in cloud data stores, right? AI data stores for that matter. So if you think about it, if you consider that 47% of companies have at least one exposed cloud hosted database or storage bucket, and over 20% of those exposed cloud environments contain sensitive data, now all of a sudden, and then you add in that AI picture that we were just talking about, data security posture management is getting more attention. It's becoming more critical.
Yeah, that's a huge number. 47% of companies are exposed with at least a hosted database, one hosted database or a storage bucket. It actually may even be higher than that. But I know studies are all taken from a subset of practitioners and executives, et cetera. But I really want to get to the root of your thoughts around the heart of, like, what's at the heart of data security and maybe some of the prevalent things just overall behind why organizations should really take this serious.
Yeah, it's easy. It's access. If you think about it, access overrides every other data security control, right? Okay. Who's got access to stuff. And that's where things get tricky because companies have hyper-connected systems and the information is scattered in different places. So just because it's sort of like a whack-a-mole situation, right? Just because you locked it down over here didn't mean you locked it down over there because you forgot, or maybe you didn't know it was over there. And it takes this ton of effort to continuously inventory where everything lives. So if you start out with different types of access controls based upon roles, that makes it a little bit easier. You've got to put some thinking into the granularity of the controls because you don't want to not make your users productive, right? You want them to be productive. And it's really tough to do in at scale in a large enterprise. My hat's off to the folks that have managed to do it well.
Yeah, and I was reading some studies as well around, there's been a lot of high profile breaches and we continue to see them almost every day now, right? There's a new breach. This healthcare company, this mom and pop shop, this casino, right? I mean, this is not being, well, basically there's no prejudice around choosing which company will end up being hacked or breached. And so I want to ask you though, but what are maybe some of the questions that, let's say, an IT team or the cybersecurity team, what should they ask about the environment just to make sure that they are doing everything that they can do in order to do their part around protecting the data?
Well, to you know, touch on a point you just said, I mean, the bad guys are smart. And my heart goes out to the healthcare organizations that mm-hmm. are just getting pummeled with ransomware. And yeah. why do they do it to them? Because they know that people's lives could be at risk. And they know that, you know, that there's all sorts of regulatory constraints around their data. And so they go after them, which is just right. predatory. It's awful, right? But to answer your question, you know, there's three things you want to start to think about. How exposed is the data? If okay. you can understand both the exposure and the accessibility, that's really foundational to understanding your risk, right? You've got to have those two elements in play before you can really understand risk. Mm-hmm. And then back to access. Who are you granting control and who are you granting access to, right? Every organization needs to really determine that level of access to data that's required. And that helps reduce risk and it helps to control insider threat. Because insider threat is a thing, whether it's intentional or unintentional, right?
Right.
You know, as we think about that, what do we want to do with acceptable usage? You know, what's acceptable usage and what isn't, right? The deal here is that these questions can't be just answered by IT or security. I always feel like security is a corporate initiative.
Right.
So it takes everybody in the mix to really talk about who needs access to what. And to put business context around that. And by having that business context, then the IT team can sort of think through how the data is used, how it's stored, and what they're dealing with, right?
Right.
That allows for that fine tuning, but without everybody involved and everybody taking seriously, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned AI, right? So, and if you did mention AI, you know, the bad guys are getting smarter. They are leveraging ChatGPT and some of mm-hmm. these other types of artificial intelligent tools that are out there. And I was watching a video this morning where this young, very intelligent hacker, he was talking about how afraid and Elon Musk is not the only one talking about being afraid of AI and how fast things are developing. But I really want to find out from you, especially on this whole DSPM solution front, how does an organization really benefit from incorporating a DSPM solution into their overall security strategy?
Well, it's going to help them, right? Because back to, you know, before AI, a lot of times we just kicked data labeling down, you know, we just kicked mm-hmm. that can down the road, right?
Yeah.
We can't do it anymore. So a DSPM solution is going to benefit an organization four different ways. It's going to give them data protection. It's going to reduce the data attack surface. It's going to help with risk mitigation. And it's definitely going to help with compliance. So let me take and break that down a little bit. If you look at enhanced data protection, a DSPM solution monitors access controls and it enforces measures such as encryption and backup. And okay. this reduces the risk of data loss and reputation damage and maybe financial loss from security incidents, right? Consumers, you're a consumer, I'm a consumer. Even though there are more breaches, we hear about them. And I think part of that is that we, as a collective, become more aware of our own data. Right. And we think about data security. I mean, 5 years ago, would anybody have really, besides someone who was in IT, known about two-factor authentication? But now we're all right. Yeah. We're all pretty familiar yeah. with it. We have two-factor on everything, or we should. If Correct. As consumers, we should be able to just two-factor our stuff because mm-hmm. that reduces a risk for us, even as consumers, right? And organizations are no different. Many organizations have, I was chatting with the CISO yesterday, a very layered approach to security. And so beyond DSPM, they'll go and buy an extra tool, like maybe an extra email filtering tool outside of maybe what their Microsoft license has. I'm not saying there's a right way or a wrong way here. I'm just saying that people think about security in layers, right? And so they have this external solution as if something fails there, then they have a fallback in the, you know, license itself that they can turn on. So that they layer it, right? So that's part of what we're looking at here is this layering to help make an organization more resilient, right? And if you're looking at the lens, like through that lens of compliance, you know, many of these organizations have to deal with GDPR or HIPAA or PCI. Yeah. And that mandate makes them even more aware of how their data is labeled and how it gets protected, because they have to be. Because if they're in breach, then they face, you know, regulatory problems. They face, and some of the regulatory problems could come with fines, large fines. So they don't want to be in that situation, right? And they really want a solution that's going to help them identify and bridge security gaps that could lead to those fines.
Right. Yeah. And not to mention the whole 4-day window, right? The SEC disclosure, you have to file it on an 8K. And it's really getting to be more challenging now to be a CISO. And I was also reading a study about the burnout and the stress around being a cybersecurity expert or even being a SOC analyst, right? Security Operations Center, it's getting really stressful if a breach happens. There was also a study that the whole team or members of the team, most of them would probably quit if they didn't have all of the processes and procedures and they rehearsed, you know, an attack and all of that. I mean, it gets really stressful and people really look at their situation and say, you know what, I don't know if I want to continue to do this job or not. But one thing too, that as I was looking at this whole category of data security posture management, I also saw cloud security posture management as well. And can you clear up the difference between cloud security posture management and data security posture management? And it looks like there's one difference, you know, one's cloud and one's data, but what's your definition around the difference of these two?
Well, I'm happy to answer that, but I want to go back to something that you said. You made a super salient point a moment ago, right? The average CISO stays in their job 2 years, right? And I stand in the CISO's corner. And what I mean by that is I think that the regulation that was put in place is a first step, and it's a good step, but it's not necessarily fair to the CISO. Because what happens is the CISO many times reports to the CIO. And if the CISO isn't given budget to do his or her job, now that's not on all organizations, but in some, if they're not given the resources, either in personnel or in dollars to get their job done, one or the other, right? They need one or the other, sometimes both. Then how can they be held accountable? And so two of the things that I'm hearing CISOs say is, great, I'm going to change my title. I'm not going to be the CISO anymore, right? I'm going to be the VP of IS, and then there will be a CISO.
Pay me the same.
You hear the same?
Well, keep my salary the same, right? But change my title.
Change my title. Because I don't want to be held accountable, right? Yeah. Because, you know, now we're starting to see it's not just a slap on the hand. They could be personally prosecuted. And then one of the gentlemen that I follow on LinkedIn actually posted the other day about there's insurance now coming out for CISOs. Personal protection for CISOs in case something like this happens. So, you know, something bad happens and they're held personally accountable, that they don't lose everything that they've built their entire life working for.
It's really interesting now. And I know you still need to clear this up for us in the whole DSPM versus CSPM, right?
Yeah, that was the question you asked, and I went off of my little tangent about systems.
It was well needed because it's the human side that we tend to forget, because when you're talking a breach, you're talking humans that are actually living it and going through it. And yes, you know, I may work for a vendor, but there's someone sitting there sweating, trying to, you know, stop the attack, segment the network, and just basically figure it all out to try to minimize the damage and, you know, just continue to operate so the business doesn't literally go bankrupt or go out of business, right? Because I think there's a healthcare organization right now. Their systems are still down. It's been 3 weeks they had to shut things down, and they are still working to try to bring the systems up because the bad guys are still in their network.
Mm-hmm. And there's another one, not going to say any names, but
yeah,
if what I'm reading is correct, there was a $20 million payment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$20 million. Like, I can't even fathom how much money that is.
Right.
And you're right. There's a human element. You know, I had a dear friend who's a CISO go through a ransomware situation this mm-hmm. year, and he was physically ill because of it. Yeah. He was up for 48 hours straight trying to just make sure that things were taken care of and the company was okay.
Right.
But I mean, they're people. They're people. But you asked a question, and so think about it this way. DSPM solutions ensure data privacy, integrity, and compliance. And if you contrast that with CSPM, that really revolves around securing cloud infrastructure and services. Mm-hmm. So it's more an emphasis on configuration and monitoring of cloud environments to identify and rectify vulnerabilities, compliance violations, misconfigurations. That's sort of the difference between the two.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for clearing that up. And it just never begins to cease to amaze me that there's a new story every day. And when they're disclosed, it's like, man, those are people actually going through this. And it's not going to get that much better because AI is only increasing in sophistication, and it's AGI and generative intelligence that's going to get smarter and bigger and faster, and the scale of attacks will increase as well. So this is a team effort that the whole world should be working together to solve. Joe, I really want to see if you could give us maybe some resources to check out, maybe the Gumbo listeners, maybe a book or your website, and how can they get in touch with you, maybe your website or LinkedIn?
Well, I'm going to share the names of a couple people that I follow on the regular on LinkedIn that were just, if that's okay, that are just, you know, it's easy. Like they're smart people and they really have great stuff to say in the cybersecurity space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes a collective, right, to learn. So I follow Mark Lind, LYND, Bob Carver, Chuck Brooks, Rob May. Those are a few people that I follow in the security space on LinkedIn, and they always have great content. So even if you have a couple minutes every day with your cup of coffee, you're going to learn something new from one of those folks.
Okay. And I guess maybe one or two of them have a podcast or a YouTube channel or all of the
many
above.
Many of them do. Many of them do. So that, you know, those are kind of some of my go-to folks that I learn from.
Well, awesome, Joe. I appreciate you being here. And before I let you go, I do want to let the audience know about the Backup and Recovery Professionals group that I run on LinkedIn. There's almost 26,000 professionals in that group. And we have conversations such as the ones that we're having right here on Data Protection Gumbo. So please check that group out and even join the group as well. We'd love to have you. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you're watching on LinkedIn, or give us a like and a thumbs up. So Joe, thank you so much again for being a guest here on Data Protection Gumbo.
Thank you for having me.